jokes first, and then to try to give you a clue of what today in history might be, because I kind of reversed it to see if you guys know your history here a little bit. So did you hear that there is a new amendment to the Constitution? Because they're issuing lockdowns, right? During the lockdowns, there was an issue with a guy riding a sleigh that was breaking into people's homes, dropping off presents. Did you ever hear that guy? He wore a red suit. So they had to make an amendment during lockdowns, and that clause is called Santa Clause. Okay, that's the Santa Clause. Okay, so it's based on a constitutional thing. There's lady goes to a fancy dinner, and at the dinner, the lady, that's this dress code, and they're supposed to wear the dress code, and they're supposed to wear coats. Okay, so the lady wasn't allowed in when she got to the dinner, and they said, "Well, you have to have a coat on." And she said, "I have the right to bear arms." Okay, another constitution. I'm just giving these little things, all right? So the right to bear arms. I pull my sleeves up. The two stars. Okay, I'm getting, this one isn't getting any better, Stan. How is the girls' slumber party like the First Amendment? They believe in the freedom of screech. Okay, not speech, but screech. Who has girls and ever had a slumber party in their house and it's just like crazy? But anyhow, so today in history, in 1789, do you know what took place in 1789 in American history? What do you think it revolved around? No. It revolved around rights, right? Like our Constitution. But today in history, December 15th, 1789 is when we as United States citizens were given the Bill of Rights. That was ratified. So the Congress came together. Originally, there was 12, and they went through the 12, and we ended up with 10, which as Americans, very, very, very important for us as a free society to know our Bill of Rights, to understand our Constitution. So that didn't have anything to do with today's message or anything else, but it's very important for us as Americans with our history. So our Bill of Rights were ratified in 1789 on today's date. So, but this morning, this open prayer, we're going to talk about a baby dedication and investing. Today's message is investing into a child. Very important, right? Very important. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just coming together. Lord, we thank you for the time that we can worship you, that we can just come before you and sing of you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to dig into your word and speak to our hearts so we can know you better and understand you better so that we can love you and serve people on this earth better through what you tell us to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Invest into a child. Proverbs 22:6. You can open up there. We're going to be jumping around a little bit this morning. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, Proverbs 22:6 says this. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. How many times as a dad, if there's dads and many dads, right, we raise our kids, and we see them do stupid things, right? I mean, if you were a kid, I was a kid, I did how many stupid things, still do stupid things, but we're called to raise and train our children. And as we come around this baby dedication this morning, there's a lot of different things that take place with a baby dedication. There's a lot of different denominations that look at a baby dedication or look at a christening or look at an infant baptism differently. But the point of a baby dedication, how's that look? And what are we looking at today as a baby dedication? Proverbs 22 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. We're supposed to train our children. Deuteronomy says the same thing. I always love this verse. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. It says this. I'm going to start with verse 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This is the point that I want us to get as a dad or as parents. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. As a family, as parents, we are supposed to be shepherding. We are supposed to be instructing our children, not just on a Sunday. Hey, we're going to church on Sunday and we're at church and that's when instruction. Nope. What's it say to put the godly character, to put the want and a desire for a child to really understand who Jesus is, just isn't on a Sunday morning. It's in verse 7 right here. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. That's pretty much constant, isn't it? All the time. Because what did they do then in the Old Testament? They walked. They didn't jump into their car. They didn't have their trucks. They walked. And as they walked with their children, they talked about God and they talked about who God was and what God had did for Israel and what and the creation of what God has done. That's what we as fathers and parents are supposed to be implementing and pushing into our children's lives. Very important. The family unit, in my personal opinion, I've always believed this, the church is here to support the family. There is no doubt. The church can only do so much with a child one day a week. What implements a character and principles that really suck into a child's life that wants to know and follow the Lord happens on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute time within the family. That's where it happens. Happens within the family. I always looked at it, would tell people about parenting. Yeah, I have 6 kids. Some of them turned out okay. Some of them didn't. Yeah, maybe they're not all quite there, but no, I'm just kidding. I love all my kids. They're all good. They're all good kids. Love my family. And people would say, Jeff, tell me how, not that I'm a perfect parent. I'm not, you know, I have plenty of problems, right? People would ask me, give me some advice on raising my child. And I always kind of boiled down to this. I call it 1st and 10 parenting. Kind of like football. Right? It's a football term. So Gavin, listen to you since you're not playing football now, but we're still talking football terms, films. Okay, I get that. So anyhow, 1st and 10 parenting. I look at it this way. As a dad, just like football, you get to football. You have to get 10 yards for a first down, right? And there's guys, big husky dudes, right? And fast. And they're all on the line of scrimmage, and you have the defense trying to get the ball, and you have the offense trying to get to the 10 yards. And they do all this effort, and it makes tons of money, right, to go 10 yards. I should have been a football player, but I should have been a good football player. Anyhow, 10 yards. So 1st and 10. As a parent, it's kind of that same exact thing. I look at it in years. As a dad, I was like, okay, I to really implement who Christ is get this relationship with my child within the first 10 years. The first 10 years, because in the first 10 years, you know, when your kid is 2 and 3 and 4, man, they still love you. Like, they come in and give you kisses and they want to play, and you have that for about 10 years, and then the teenagers start to come out, right? And then they're like, Dad, then you know nothing, right? In that second 10 years. But the first 10 years, you're trying to build this relationship, and it's just like football. It really is. You have these plays and you have this, and every kid is different. But if you look at it that way, that I have to build a relationship and teach Christ into my child within the first 10 years is such a need for that child. Because the first 10 years, and many talk about the age of accountability, when children start to understand who Jesus is and understand who Christ is, and when they start to make a decision of, am I going to follow Christ or am I not going to follow Christ? A lot of that happens and starts to take place in that second 10 years. First 10 years as a dad and as a family, you want to really implement who Jesus is as a family and put that into your child's life. What do we know about Jesus? What does the New Testament say about Jesus loving children? Well, we see it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how Jesus kind of changed what people thought about and how it looked compared to the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament, people loved their children and they talked about their, but they were kind of like their children. They're not, yeah, the children. They're like children. Yeah. Well, Jesus talked about children. Matthew, we're going to look at these three. Matthew 19. We'll start in verse 14. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 13. The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. They were rebuked. And Jesus said this in verse 14. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Jesus said, little children, come to me. And he loved them. And he put his hands on them and blessed them. Mark. See it once again in Mark. Mark 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples, once again, same story, right? The disciples, they rebuked him and said, don't bring your kids, man. Jesus is too important. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter in. Once again, he says, I love the children. Bring the children to me. And he took the children in his arms. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? Jesus, right? Our Savior, the one who was crucified on a tree, on a cross, that he had the time and the love to take these little children and hold them and hug them. And he has his concern for that child. And in verse 16, and he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. He blessed them. Luke 18, 15 through 17 says this. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, what do you think they said? Same story. So it's the same thing. They rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, little children, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in. Jesus loved children. right? Jesus loves children. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves us. That's what the whole story of the gospel and the whole story of Christ is about, us and God's love for people. Not just God's love for good people, not just God's love for the upright people, not God's love for rich people. God loves all people. He came for someone like me, a sinful person. That's why Jesus came. And the disciples were like, don't bring the children. And Jesus said, oh, bring the children to me. I love these children. Bring them to me. And Jesus came for salvation, right? Jesus came for our salvation. When we look at a child dedication and baby dedication, there's some people that teach different things. And when I look at Scripture, and this is kind of how I always look at Scripture, I'm going to speak and teach what Scripture says. I'm not going to veer off on traditions of this or that. What Scripture says. What does Scripture say about a child dedication? What does it say? There's not a whole lot in there about a child dedication, but there's nothing in there against it. But there's these things that people have taught for years, that an infant baptism or a christening or a child dedication will save your child. But that is not in Scripture. Scripture teaches as people. The only way, John 3:16, who knows John? We all know John 3:16, many, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Whoever believes. So there's this age that we as people, all people, that we come at an age, a time frame when our mind starts to develop that we can make decisions. And at that time, that's when we realize, trust who Christ is or we don't. And we can go through life and not trust. And we can go through life and we can push back on, I don't want to follow Jesus. Or we can go through life and we say, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus at some point. When I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to come to Christ. You know, we don't know. I mean, Jesus is going to take any time. He wants you. And he's reaching out to all of us all the time if we're not believers, and saying, come to me. Come to me. Believe in me. Believe in me as your salvation. That's the call of Christ. That's what his call was to these children. I love children. Bring them to me. And with that, it goes then to the family, the dad, the mom. Dad, mom, what are you doing? Teaching your children. We're supposed to be investing into our child's life. And that first 10 years, if we invest wisely and we can teach our children, and that they can begin to see and understand the stories of Scripture and understand who Jesus was and understand the whole concept of Jesus dying on a cross for our sins, that we need to believe in that is our method of salvation, to have eternity with Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. A baptism doesn't get you into heaven. Communion doesn't get you into heaven. Doing good works doesn't get you into heaven. Me speaking up here on a Sunday, if I don't know Jesus, if I don't have the faith and trust, you remember we talked about it, my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am not going to heaven. We have to trust Jesus as our Savior, and we put our belief into him. And that's what we want our children to, we try to implement that into our children's lives. It's an investment into a child. And believe me, I know investing into kids, they're expensive little dudes. It's just, right? I mean, diapers and formulas and food, and then it comes like clothes and shoes and pants, and you get into cars and college, and it's like, oh man, it's like, but the investment of the spiritual side, the spiritual application of who Jesus is into a young child's life. That can blossom into a child coming to know Christ, a child that wants to serve Christ, a child that is going to step out and tell others the truth of who Jesus Christ is and can minister to other people for his entire life or her entire life. Starts with an investment into that child. So as we come now, I lost my wife. She was going to come up here. She was there the whole time. So now we're going to have this time of dedication. And a child dedication is, and you guys can come up. You two can come on up. I have the certificate. I don't have the other. I have that. So these guys had the desire to have, what's that? Oh, he's coming? Where is he? Oh, he's upstairs. Okay, we'll wait till Weston comes. He's the man of the hour. And I got to tell you, so if I've met you today, it took me a while to get this guy's name right. And then it took me a while to get Weston's name right. What was I calling him? I was calling him Wesley, right? I kept worrying today I was going to call him Wesley. It's like, Weston, Weston, Weston. So it takes me a while to think. So what we wanted to do this morning when these guys asked about having a Weston dedicated to the Lord, to me, I'm like, wow, that's awesome, right? Because that's what we want with our children. So we're going to pray for Weston. We're going to pray for these guys because as I believe that this transfer of who Christ is, and he's such a cute guy, right? Because I was like, do I do the dedication before the message or after the message? And Jen was like, well, he's such a good baby. Well, you could probably get away with after. I've been to some dedications where the babies are screaming the whole time, and the one guy, he got peed on, and I mean, you get it all, right? So, but the dedication of a young baby is really a dedication as well to implement and start to put this biblical structure into his heart, into his life, as even as a young baby. So as he grows and he comes into these decisions and he's going to start to understand Scripture and understand what God wants from him, understand who Jesus is. So we're going to pray for you guys and dedicate him. And Gil's going to pray as well for you guys. I asked Gil to pray. I love the age difference and the wisdom of Gil that to pray for him as well. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this family. Lord, I pray and we come before you and we lift up this family. We lift up Weston to you. Lord, you know him. You saw him being formed within the womb, and you knew all the details. You know him inside and out better than these guys do. Lord, and we know you love him. Lord, we just pray for him. We pray for his soul. We pray for his heart. We pray for him as he grows, that he will have an understanding of who you are at a young age, Lord. And then I pray for these guys as a family. And Braden, as the spiritual leader in a family, Lord, I pray for them to grasp and understand who you are in their life, in their family, and help them as they direct and steer and come before you with their family, Lord, as they raise Weston, Lord. I pray for that. And we just ask for wisdom for them. And we pray for Weston to really have a desire to follow you in his life. Gil.
Every day of his life will be under your control, your authority,
Amen. Now, before you guys sit down, there's something behind me. So we do have so you remember this day, right? We have a certificate of baby dedication, and you guys can sign this as you see fit, take it home. And then there's a rhyme Bible. The rhyme Bible is more, well, it's for all of you. And this Bible right here for children and families is an amazing, amazing tool. We bought, I don't know how many of these, just, we found one years ago, 30 years ago when we had my 30 year old was a baby, and we started reading it. And we're like, this is great. And as we just did devotions, nighttime before bedtime, it's just story time, right? And the kids, then we started reading it. And then all of a sudden, I mean, we could probably say it right. So one time we started to say one of the stories. It was, and boom, everybody started saying it. And they were like, you know, 15 years later or whatever. But this book, the Rhyme Bible, it's a way and a method for you guys as a family to implement biblical stories into him. And I can't recommend these books enough. So the church wanted to give you this as a family, as you guys now are investing into Weston. So
thank you.
And then as we finish up, if you're a member within the church and you want to pray for them, grab them, pray for them, right? Because churches, a lot of times I've been into a church and the church would stand up and make commitments to pray for these guys or pray to be alongside Weston. And I'm all for that. But in churches today, what do we find? A lot of people move on. They move. And I don't know how many times I've said I would pray for a young child and you don't see them like in 2 years because a family moves or whatever. So I'm asking the church grab these guys on the way out to pray for them. To pray for their family. Family, I'm asking you guys to come alongside these guys as they raise Weston. You know, it's very important. So, praise God for you guys. You can sit down. So as we come to a close on baby dedication, if you don't know Christ, right, if you have never put your trust and faith into Jesus Christ, is today your day? You know, Jesus loves an old guy. I'm not saying how old I am, but at the end of the month, I get a little bit older. But if Jesus loves an older man, an older woman, just as much as a young baby, you know, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, today is the day. Today's the day. You can speak to me afterwards and we can have a discussion on where Christ is in your life. And as we go, pray, grab these guys and pray for them. Let's pray as we leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we can just have a baby dedication, Lord. You call out and say, I love children. Bring the children to me, Lord. We want to bring you children, Lord. We want to teach people how to raise their kids right and how to raise kids in a biblical manner. Lord, you love us like something that we can't even really understand. And so many times I know, Lord, so many times I drop the ball on how I should be living for you. Help us, Lord, to live for you in our day to day. And help us to teach our children. Help us to teach our family. If we don't have kids, it's neighbor kids or people within our community, Lord. Help us to know that our job is to continually speak truth of your gospel, of your salvation. That's why you came. And as we have Christmas time and we celebrate Christmas and we think about Advent calendars and all this, the Advent, it's a preparation time of your coming. Help us to remind ourselves that as we are in this time, in this season right now at Christmas time. In your name we pray. Bless this day. Bless little Weston. In your name we pray. Amen. As we leave, there's coffee and donuts in the back. Grab a visitor, give them a big hug. If you guys don't like hugs, and you can pop them in the head, but enjoy your time together.